hear a good joke about running around the block, talk to Judy. She's got a good one about the four blocks that she ran last night, I think it was. And I appreciated that from my sister because I need all the tension releasers that I can possibly get. This never seems to get easier for me to stand before you, but I recognize that we're brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and the intent of today, I trust, will be an encouragement to you, and I trust it'll be a challenge to you as well. But I consider myself someone who shares from the Word of God, and not somebody who is a great preacher or a great speaker. But I've been greatly influenced by the Word of God in my heart and in my life. And sometimes to translate that for one's personal experience and express it in a way that is meaningful is a challenge for me. And I'll try not to make you feel sorry for me. That's not my intent. It's more that's really my struggle. Happy Father's Day to each and every one of you brothers in the room. Just a heartfelt expression of that. That experience of being a father is quite an obligation. It's quite a privilege. Comes with many challenges and struggles. But it's an honor. Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us, and this is for everybody in the room, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And we won't read the next verse yet, because really, I'm going to flip it around, and it's not really to fathers at this moment, it's to children and young people that are in our midst today. Perhaps you're not a father, but you have a father. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to follow after what this passage says to you. To honor your father and mother. This comes from the Old Testament passage in Deuteronomy 6, where it talks about honoring your father and your mother. And it's the first commandment with promise. And I encourage you as young people that are sitting here today to give heed to your parents, to listen to them, to honor them with your ears and the activities of your life. The scripture is clear that by doing so, it's the first commandment with a promise, that there's something to be gained by living your life that way. We have many young people in our room that someday will be fathers and someday will be mothers. And as you learn from your own parents, both their frailties and from their discipline and their wrath sometimes, you will learn about things in life that you'll look back on and realize perhaps some of the things that they were saying were probably right, and you just didn't get it at that point in your life. So I'd ask for you to be attentive when you're with your parents, even when you don't want to, even when they're saying things that perhaps just don't seem to sink in to you. Because that, by in doing so, you're also honoring the Lord. And so I'd encourage you in a positive way to honor them, to love them, and they will so appreciate that. And yet, so just for your benefit as well, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. That's the father's responsibility, is to not to push, to anger, to put a child in a wrong position for the wrong reasons. And that's a challenge to me as a father, because I've probably done that. There's no doubt about it. And I'm convicted by that I need to model my life in the same way I'm asking you as young people to model your life after what God's Word asks us to do. But there's that challenge to fathers. And again, I could speak to the whole audience today, that whether you're a father or mother yet, there's a chance that you may be. And that blessing that will become yours to do that very same thing, to model your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with your family and with your children. My father certainly influenced my life in many ways. Some good and some maybe not so good. He wasn't a perfect man. But he was the one who brought me to this place so that I would come under the sound of the Word of God. My grandfather was one who influenced me in many other ways. He was an old timer from Germany. He was born in 1883. I was going to bring this chessboard that he made that I really take a lot of pride in, because it's I think I get my technical side from him, because he pieced little pieces together in like a macrame in this chessboard. And I run, or well, at least I have access to like these computerized machines that can do things so tightly tolerance. All the stuff he did was all handmade. It all fits together and all the joints are perfect. And part of me almost hates him that he could do that, because he's just so good and so talented. And yet these men had an influence in my life, some spiritually related and some just teaching me in the way that I should go. And I thank the Lord for those men in my life. And I trust you have memories and thoughts that are similar to that. So this morning is going to be a little bit of a potpourri, and that's probably what I'm best at. I want to talk a little bit about fatherhood, but also we're going to spend a little time in Hebrews as well. Okay? So if we, as we've gathered together this morning, we think about God, our Heavenly Father, and His relationship with His Son, what an amazing relationship that they have. It's unique in many ways, yet it's an example of obedience and love and servitude of the Son towards the Father. I'm not going to ask you to turn to all these passages if you'd like to. I've got about 6 or 7 verses. I'm just going to rattle off for you. Christ's example in His relationship with the Father. God the Father and His Son, Christ, the Christ. John 16:28, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world again. I leave the world and I go back to the Father. He's come to this planet of His Father, and he left and to go back to be with His Father. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. It's amazing to think about what Christ did and why He did it. Not to do His own will, but of Him who sent me, that of God the Father. John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. He loved His Father, and as the Father gave Him things that He should do, He did them. John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in a like manner. John 10:30, thinking about the relationship between the Father and the Son, I and the Father are one. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Just over and over again, the illustration of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son being obedient and expressing that love to His Father. And Matthew 26:39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That extreme situation between Christ and his father in that position of being ready to take that next step of obedience, to give himself, his all, for us. Just amazing to me. And I thank the Lord for his illustration. And there's tons more verses in the scripture that talk about the relationship between God the Father and his Son. We thought about even for a moment this morning in Philippians, where the Father highly exalted his Son. That special relationship between God and his only Son, the spotless Lamb of God, the firstborn of all creation. That's a high calling to fathers on this earthly planet. To see that as our challenge to love and obey, to listen to our earthly father, but more beyond that scope and taking it beyond that as individuals who want to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, that we want to obey him, and we show that as an expression of our love. We want to listen to him, and we do the hard things in life because of what he's done for us, because of who he is. That's our response to him as God our Father. I'm going to switch gears for a moment and just share with you, this is a true tangent, but I hope it's helpful to you. We all know that our brother Chuck Soder went home to be with the Lord about a week and a half ago now. And I've had a number of conversations with our sister Sue, and we talked last night, in fact, and I asked her if it was okay if I just share a couple of brief things from her. And she said yes, that was okay. Probably a couple of days after his death, she had remarked to me that Chuck wasn't a real big fan of Facebook, and many of you know that. But his daughter was and is, and some of her friends, when she shared about her father's death, shared how his faithful testimony in sharing Christ with her friends from their childhood years in their home led a few of them to place their personal trust in Christ because they saw his consistency in his walk. And I thought, what a wonderful thing. I shared that with a few of you, and it's just amazing to think that your testimony could direct somebody or point somebody to Christ. And I won't make any bones about it. We all have different personalities and personality types, and yet it was God who knit us together in our mother's womb. But sometimes we can analyze one another and pigeonhole one another in a certain way. But to me, that was just very profound that this man and his testimony and his love for Christ spoke to somebody in the sphere that the Lord gave him. And I was just very impressed by that. Another thing, just the other day, Sue was talking to me and talking to me about how Chuck was a prayer warrior and that he would often remind her the need to pray personally about very specific things, whether it be about needs in their life or about a concern for someone who wanted, they just wanted them to be open to the claims of Christ. And she shared with me how she found, I don't know if it was before his death or after exactly, but she found these note cards that had people's names on them, many of whom were yours. And I think the thing that really touched my heart to think about this was, she said some of them were really dirty. And I, you know, to me, I hope that says the same thing to you as it does to me. In other words, he used them. They were like my grandfather's playing cards. They were dirty because he handled them. And he was constantly before the Lord and going to his presence, intervening on the behalf of others. And I praise the Lord for that, brother, in that regard, because truly, he's an example. Was he perfect? No, he certainly wasn't, and neither of any of us. But there's some verses in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, that the Apostle Paul says, "Not that I have already attained it or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me." And that's what I thought about when I think of this brother, or perhaps when I think of myself in the mirror, that even as a father, I'm not perfect. Yet I press on. It's my desire, it's my goal in life to focus, to follow after him, to lay hold of that which he has laid hold of me. I'd ask that you continue to pray for Sue. As I said, we've talked a few times, and I know that many of you have talked to her. She's encouraged by your phone calls. She's encouraged by the thoughts of bringing cookies or a meal for her. When I think of the body of Christ, if one's hurting, what do? We support. We show love. We show care. And so this is a time of change for her. And so I challenge you, I exhort you in the love of Christ, to not only for our sister Sue, but as you see the opportunity, that you take it and don't let it go by. Because it's all too easy. The time flies, and we all know it, and it's behind us. And we haven't taken the opportunity, and we look back and say, it's too late. So I'd encourage you in that way. So now we're going to go back towards Hebrews, if you would. We've heard many times in our study through the book of Hebrews that about the depth that which we find in this book, how much it illustrates the more perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see that there are many types of Christ that are illustrated through these copies, as shown through the Levitical rules and regulations. None of us can likely say that we have been subjected to those rules or to those regulations, because we didn't grow up as Jews under the Levitical law, maybe barring Nancy in the room. We didn't have that experience. And yet we have this whole historical account that illustrates to us these lessons about the Old Testament Jews and how it relates to us in our current day. And as we were talking about it, a few of us a few weeks ago, sometimes it's hard to connect for us. For me, it is to relate to those sacrifices that were made and how they were made in a very proper way, in a very specific way, and how only the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies that once a year to make that sacrifice. That's not our experience. We don't know that Levitical law by experience. Again, some perhaps maybe have had exposure to it. But for the most part, we don't have that experience. We never practiced animal sacrifices, right? We don't know what that means to have that high priest once a year go into the Holy of Holies. I wasn't here, but I had the privilege to listen to it. We were challenged some weeks ago of whether we prefer the pattern over the presence. I'm not sure how that struck you or hit you, but it was a real challenge to me personally. And for some of you that weren't there or maybe not sure what we're talking about here, thinking about whether or not, what is most important to you? Is it following after a pattern? Or is it following the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Now, I will tell you that my gig or whatever is to follow patterns. I'm just used to that. I think that way, and it's hard for me to break out of it. It really is. And to be specific, I think the concept that was trying to be raised there so many weeks ago is how we gather here as a group of believers, to gather under the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd suggest that I'm not the only one that's stuck in a rut when it comes to patterns. Patterns aren't always bad. In fact, very often they're very good. They lead us to be in the right place, to do the right things. But the connection about wanting to be in Christ's presence and have his presence be the preeminent, or have the preeminent role, is, I think, what the heart of the matter is. And you could ask that, brother, if you'd want some more illustration on that specifically. But I was personally really challenged to think about what is most important to me. Because, again, I've served in a lot of different roles and done different things. And sometimes it's really easy to say that if we follow this line and then turn right and go up here, that we'll get to our goal. And, yeah, that's true most of the time, except sometimes there's a person standing in the way. And sometimes that might be Christ intervening in our path, or maybe it's an individual person that isn't seeing it quite that way, and we maybe have to go around to get to where Christ is at. And I hope that's making some sense to you, but I was personally just really committed that it's most important that in the year of 2017, that as individuals, that we follow Christ and his word, and that we're careful that as we're had this pattern of how we gather, I'm not undermining at all Acts 2:42 and how that we should meet. But at the same time, that our hearts are sensitive enough to recognize that when it's become such a pattern, that it's so rote memory that I have no feeling connected to it, that there is no relationship involved anymore. And again, we're all subject to those kind of tendencies. And again, I'd probably raise my hand as being one of those specifically. And I need, and I believe we all need, to exhort one another to the end that we're focusing on Christ. And that, yes, patterns can be fine, but that Christ is the focus of our pattern, and our intimacy with him becomes so preeminent that following the path is just a matter of course. Doesn't matter what vehicle I'm driving in so much, but right there he is leading me along the way. So if you would then turn to your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 9. And we'll start at verse 24. As I said, this is probably going to be fairly quick, but we're just going to walk through a few verses that particularly impressed me. And I call these my leftovers. And it doesn't mean that others didn't eat them up, but that was another one of my nicknames when I was a kid. I was always the guy that ate the leftovers. And I know that you have no surprise, and my brother Brian takes special pleasure in that. Starting at verse 24, "For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sins by the sacrifice of himself, and it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." Let's open our time in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for his finished work on the cross, and that through him and him alone that we can have forgiveness of sins and salvation. Salvation that would restore our relationship with you, that we could interact with you and love you. And so, Lord, we ask it as we spend these few moments looking at your word. I just trust that today it would encourage us and strengthen us. We pray this in his precious and holy name. Amen. So, as I looked at these, whatever it is, five verses or so, I don't know, to me it's kind of like popcorn, and maybe it's easy pickings for some, or the easy fruit to pick, but I just love the Word of God when it's just so alive and so vibrant in how it illustrates things word at a time. And again, maybe that's just me, but Christ entered that holy place not made with hands. He entered heaven itself. And if you can think about the picture from the Old Testament, God gave very specific instruction as to how they should build the tabernacle and how things were to be laid out in a very specific way. But it wasn't heaven. It was a copy of the things to come. And it's so fascinating for me to just think through that God, Christ, the one who we know, who he spoke in times past through the prophets, but now, for the last 2,000 years, all of our experience and pretty much everybody we know has come under that now, has spoken to us through his son. He hasn't spoken to us in the same way as he did through the prophets and to follow those Levitical rules and laws. He's spoken to us through his son. And this same son has appeared in the heavens for you and I. I don't know, maybe that doesn't like strike you the same way it does to me, but it's, I want to use the word magical because I'm tongue-tied and I can't say something better, but it's amazing to think that he appeared. And he wasn't temporary. This is Christ, God's son, who appeared. We read in one of those verses before that he came to this earth and he'll go back again to be with his father. He's appearing in heaven for you and for me. In the presence of God. In the presence of the Most High God for us. That's you and me. That's what he did. To me, it's just it's so simple, and yet to me it's just so profound to think that God, his son, the Lord Jesus, came to show the perfect plan. Not the copy, and I don't want to use the word counterfeit because that was God's plan too. But we understand sometimes in our life what counterfeits are. This is the real deal. That Christ would appear in the presence of God for you and for me. The Holy of Holies. We value and appreciate the whole counsel of God because it helps, in for one, because God gave it to us. But in my own simple mind, he helps to illustrate to me some of those pictures that maybe I didn't get from the New Testament. Just to illustrate the elaborateness of how important it was, how they approached God, and how holy and righteous he was and is. In the presence of God for us. Jude 1:24 says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." This is Christ who's doing that. Verse 25, "Not that he should enter often as the high priest entered the holy place every year." He doesn't have to keep going into the tabernacle in that way to take our sin upon him. He did it once. And that's all that was required and was necessary. And he didn't take your lamb and your lamb and put it on the altar. He was the lamb that laid on that altar for you and I. It's just like, yeah, okay, it's easy pickings, but how beautiful is the picture? In his presence with exceeding joy. Not that he should offer himself often, again. Verse 26. He appeared on this planet. God sent him here to take on a human form, to walk on this planet, ultimately, to put away sin. Not for another year. And again, I realize, I said a few moments ago, we don't understand that. We didn't experience that culture of the annual sacrifices and what it meant to build up to those things. But he appeared to put it away. not so it would have to be dealt with again. And how? By the sacrifice of himself. And not that it would happen over and over and over again. The sacrifice of himself. In verse 28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, to those who eagerly wait for him. A couple of times, whether in our brothers who prayed this morning or songs, it was alluded to about his return and about our hope of his return and the excitement that we have towards that return. He will appear a second time. He will appear in the clouds to call those home to be with him. Tangent. So yesterday at work, this guy that comes to me fairly frequently comes into my office and he'll just start to talk. And actually on Friday he came in, he's a pretty tough guy. He came in and had tears in his eyes. And he was really upset about something that happened to his grandchild. And I can't help but, I'm not sure why I'm going there, but I just, God gives us opportunities and we got to take them. And we have this hope that have placed our trust in him. I think what it was is that it was apart from sin that he'll come and he'll gather his own to himself. Our world is just dying from sin. And not that we're any exception, that we still commit sin, and so we're so grateful that he's faithful and just to forgive us. But there are people that are lost and they're without hope. And he's 3 years older than me. Sometimes he calls me dad. Now, don't ask me why. I guess I look a lot older than I am. But I love this guy because he's real. And his earthly experience, I was talking to somebody just for a moment at the break, is that his mom used to take him to church when he was young. He has a lot of respect for his mother, but he chose to not listen to everything mom said. Well, that's not really all that out of the ordinary either, right? But sorry, moms, but it's true. And so his life path took him through some rugged, rugged terrain. And so he's bearing some of the consequences from that. But he's open to listen and hear, because I tell him, I'll say his name's Calvin. I've mentioned him before on Wednesday night. Calvin, I can't offer you much wisdom other than to give you the word of God, because that's where I have my hope, and that's what gives me help to make it through day by day, because my eyes are fixed on him. I'm no better. I was a sinner, am a sinner, saved by the grace of God. And that's what you need to hear. And that's the only thing that's going to change your life. It's not necessarily going to change the consequences of your life. So, rabbit trails, right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're reminded, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I like to comfort you with those words because I know I've used them plenty of times before. But to me, it's just this beautiful thing that as believers, we have to look forward. I'm not sure what I said either. We have these precious promises in God's word that he lays out for us that we can be comforted. But this isn't some intangible hope. This is God-breathed, God-written, given word of God that he's going to come again and receive us to himself. And thus we will always be with the Lord. And to me, when I, yeah, maybe easy pickings, I suppose, but how beautiful is that to think that through and just enjoy it. And, you know, I have no doubt that many of you, all of you, are rubbing shoulders with people that are literally dying because they're not connected to Christ. And this hope that we have within us about his coming to get us, they don't have. And you just wonder how they make it through life. Well, I do know a lot of how people make it through. I work with a lot of alcoholics. I work with a lot of people that just, that's all they talk about. It's really, if you're not talking about like how drunk you're going to get tonight or this or that, and not that I'm against having a glass of wine, I'm just saying that's their hope. That's what, as soon as I can get away from this, and of course more and more people are being exposed to that in the workplace because they can't just wait till they get home to get away from life. They got to get away from it while they're at work too, and that creates its own challenges. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We have a lot to be excited about and look forward to. Jumping ahead in the chapter, we'll read verses 16 through 25. And again, some of these, no doubt, were covered, and it's not my intent to just refocus on them except for a couple brief points. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. I will write them, then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, for not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some, but exhorting so much the more as we see the day approaching. In verse 18 particularly, now there is remission of these. Cancellation of debt. It's just that word remission, just this time reading and working through the passage, just is so amazing to me, especially in light of the Old Testament practice. There's cancellation of debt. It's gone through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not temporarily dealt with and then next year another sacrifice. It's canceled. There's no longer a need for animal sacrifices or personal sacrifice. And I just pick up on that point about personal sacrifices. I trust the Lord will help me with this. But I realize that so much in our lives, we do things, I think, sometimes to appease God, to justify the things that we're doing. And I realize that might be a little out of context here, but I challenge you, as I'm challenged so often, be square with God when you're talking to him. He knows all things. He knows your heart. He knows the intents of your heart. He knows your inner man. So who are you really kidding? Your alter ego? What is it? Is it that you're afraid to admit it? Recognize that he desires to have that relationship with you so that when you are struggling, you're not running away, but you're running to him and to abide in him and be with him. Verse 19, our brother challenged us when he spoke, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, boldness. How? It's through the blood of Jesus that we can have boldness to enter into his presence. Not by anything that we've done or you've done or I, whatever, however you want to say it. It's because of what he's done. And I, you know, I like to play songs and all that. And so I saw this song yesterday on the internet, and I'll trust you can hear it, and maybe it'll speak to you. I suggest to you that many of us are running. Maybe running away. Maybe you're just running like Forrest Gump. I don't know. But it's true, right? Running to what? Through his blood, he has provided access to the Holy of Holies through his Son. Where is your secret place? I suggest we all have one. What is your secret place doing for you if it's not in the place that he provided for you? Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his word that's alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it applies to us today. It applies to every individual in this room. It's relative to our lives. It shows the love of God that would send his precious Son, the Lord Jesus, to this planet to take on a body of a man, not of a God. That he would take on flesh to bear our sin. That what keeps us from having a relationship with you. That by his finished work on the cross, we could come into fellowship with you again and enter that secret place, that holy of holies. We praise you for him this morning. We pray, Lord, even as we go from here and perhaps run to the next activity that we have today, that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those in this room today, Lord, that are running from you, Lord, that you get their attention and show them through your Holy Spirit what you've done for them. May it be real for those of us who know you and struggling and are still just running, that you would pause us in our lives to focus our attention on you, to take moments in our days to be in that secret place with you, to just sit there and listen through your word and through your guidance what's important in life. So Lord, once again I thank you, our Father, who art in heaven, for what you've given to us. And I thank you for the earthly fathers that you've given to us as well. And I ask your special blessing on them again today, and that those who will have an opportunity to be with them and share with them that special moment, we ask your special blessing as well. We commit all these things to you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.